Blog Talk Radio.
I stroll through the pictures, what I've left behind. You want again. I'm locked up in memories, they all intertwine. The memories in my mind. I know tomorrow, 'cause that dawn will come. You will never know what you've done.
Good evening. Welcome to the Stop Child Abuse Now Blog Talk Radio Show, brought to you by the National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse, also known as NASCA. My name is Tammy Schaffstall. I'm calling in from Lighthouse Point, Florida, and I'll be your host tonight. Along with me will be my co-host, Miss Laura out of Alberta, Canada. So she will be co-hosting with me tonight. Thank you for joining us. Tonight's show is an open mic show. It is a call-in, a question and answer, and we will also have our special guest host, who is Felicia Reed. Felicia Reed is a trauma-informed recovery coach who suffers the entire spectrum of abuses from the age of 5 to 51. That was the point where she started to heal and started her recovery process. She started learning about using coaching and self-healing techniques that saved her life. Felicia also founded Put It in Perspective, where she currently works to teach these tools to groups and individuals. Felicia is a very, very upbeat person. I always enjoy the show when she is here, so I'm really excited about that. We would love to have you folks call in. We know a lot of people do stream in. We would love to have you join the show, and we could use the support. Please call 646-595-2118. That's 646-595-2118. Before we get started with the show, let me tell you a little bit about NASCA. The National Association of Adult Survivors of Child Abuse is a nonprofit 501c3 organization, and we're self-supporting through our own contributions. If you'd like to donate to us, it would very much be appreciated, but it's also tax deductible because we are a 501c3. Here at NASCA, we have a single purpose to address issues related to childhood abuse and trauma, including sexual assault, violent and physical abuse, emotional traumas, and neglect. And we do so from two perspectives. First, we educate the public, especially as related to getting society over the taboo of discussing childhood sexual abuse. And we present the facts to show child abuse to be a pandemic worldwide problem that affects everyone. We also offer hope and healing through numerous paths, providing many services to adult survivors of child abuse and information for anyone who is interested in the many issues involving prevention, intervention, and recovery. That telephone number to join us is 646-595-2118. Here at NASCA, we're fighting for kids and serving adult survivors. Be aware, be a voice, be a hero, be brave. So I'm going to go over to the studio. We do have several people who have called in. I've already told you about my co-host, my trailer, Laura. She's also in training to be a host, and I'm really excited about that. And then we have our founder, Mr. Bill Murray, has called in, and we have Felicia Reed waiting in the hopper. So I'm going to go ahead and start opening the mics and give everybody a minute to introduce themselves. And I'm going to start with Laura. Lori in Canada. Good evening, Lori. How are you?
Hello, Tammy. I'm good. How about yourself?
I'm doing very well. Can't complain too much. I'm in South Florida. What is there to complain about? Except for all the wind and the rain. You know, we've got a we have a hurricane out in the Atlanta coast, and the wind has blown just right. We have got nothing but wind and rain, so it's been something.
We've got snow up here in Canada. We've got snow all over the place up here. So, you know, both coasts, both sides, it's what can you do?
That's right. You go with it. You build a snowman, and we'll go play in the rain. There you go.
Yeah. I'm glad to be here.
Thank you for being here. Oh, absolutely. Thank you for being here. I know it'll be a lively show. It always is when we have Miss Felicia Reed. And, you know, me being the chatterbox that I am, Chatty Cathy that I am, I'm sure we'll get into some very rich discussions.
I'm looking forward to it.
Me too. Next, I'm going to go to Mr. Bill Murray calling in from Pompano Beach, Florida, right up the street from me. Good evening, Bill. How are you?
I'm doing well. The rain finally stopped. We've been deluged for several days, and there's going to be a little more, too. But that meant that the weather, that the temperature has reduced quite a bit, and, of course, the humidity. So I'm pretty comfortable today. I had the door open a lot of the day between the house and the porch, and there was no really big difference between the two temperatures. So that was pretty pleasant. I'm looking forward to a good show, too. Felicia is always a terrific guest, and we always have good discussions. I hope some other people will call in because this is their opportunity to, you know, ask questions or bring up topics from somebody who we really appreciate and admire, Felicia Reed from the Baltimore area, from the Washington-Baltimore area, between the two. All right, thanks a lot.
Thank you, Bill. I have to admit to you, though, I like the rain and I like the wind. You know, I enjoy that the hurricane-y weather. I know that's crazy. Most people may not say that, but I do enjoy it as long as the trees aren't falling and the house isn't caving in.
Yeah, I agree.
Okay, well, thank you for being here as well. I appreciate the support. Again, if anyone is listening, we'd love to have you join us. We know we have a lot of people streaming in. It's a very easy, friendly show to do. Please join us, 646-595-2118. And without further ado, I'm going to go to Miss Felicia Reed. Like I said, she's a trauma-informed recovery coach. And it's always exciting to have her here. And she is calling, like Bill said, from the Baltimore, Maryland area. Good evening, Felicia. How are you?
I'm here. I'm wonderful. I'm happy to be here. I made it through. And I'm looking forward to a nice, easy show tonight. And welcome Lori from Alberta. And Bill, thanks for showing up for us this evening here and providing the forum. So, Tammy, I'm with you. Maybe not as high energetic as you'd like me to be, but, you know, the hard part is showing up, and I did that part.
Well, your low energy is high compared to other people sometimes. So, you know, you're like me. When I think of you, you may not think of yourself as this, but when I think of you, I think of an upbeat Pollyanna. And you're allowed to have a couple of cloudy days. We all are, so don't worry about it. The sun will be shining down, beaming down on you again. Don't you worry, my dear.
Yes. I know it always is, and you know, I think that do we have any other panelists on?
Not at this time, but hopefully people will call in. We've got a couple of people who do normally call in on a Thursday. Some of them call in a little bit later, and that's okay. We'll take what we have, but we have 1, 2, 3, 4 of us. I'm going to count it. 4 of us on here. So we have enough to have a really good forum, and if other people call in, we'll fold them into the conversation and go with it.
Yes. So, you know, the world has changed. We will not have what we once knew as normal. And I wanted to open a discussion this evening, tonight, wherever you are, morning, afternoon, just on what has become your new normal. What are you doing on a regular basis, routine like, as part of your recovery or discovery? I like that, recovery or discovery. You know, into self, which is your new norm. You know, there was a time we could, you know, connect with friends easily in person, hug, be in really, you know, great spaces with like-minded or maybe not so like-minded people. We could, you know, we could meander about and do things. Right now it's a process. It requires a lot of thinking and planning. You know, don't go out without your mask, and where are you going, and do you have to wait, and what's available there? You have to, you know, find out their hours because so many things have changed. But anyway, we're in a different norm. So I wanted to just open up, you know, very light discussion on what has become your new norm. And I can tell you that, you know, not every day, but some days, my norm is, okay, do I put on lounging pants or pajama pants? And then what is the difference? Cause, you know, I'm just like pants and T-shirt, that's the uniform. And what is the, you know, what is the difference between loungewear and pajama wear right about now? You know, and then with the weather changing here on the East Coast where I'm not wearing those, you know, those wrap skirts that I was making as much, but I am. I had on one this week. And I was getting dressed a little late today, and I said, do I just put on another pair of pajamas, or do I get in some loungewear, which I'm going to have to take off and then put pajamas on? So I'm like, oh, gosh. You know, a little dilemma, right, because it's still clothing. And, of course, you see people out and about, and, you know, we're relaxed in our appearances. Some of us are. So I wanted to find out, what routine-wise, what has become your new norm?
Okay, well, that's a good question to start us off with. If you guys don't mind, I'll go first, and then we'll give everybody a chance to comment. I have to be honest with you. Maybe it's because I live in South Florida and the weather doesn't change. It just gets from not crazy hot to normal 85, 90-degree weather at this point. And I've had to work through the entire, as a matter of fact, I've worked harder than ever in my job through this COVID-19. My world did change, but, you know, some of the things when they're starting to open up here in South Florida, I've gotten pretty much back to normal. I've tried to, you know, keep things other than, like you said, grabbing a mask. You know, I still go carry on. You know, the only inconvenience is if something isn't open as late, or, you know, they don't have the bar stools there, or, you know, you have to social distance. And when I go to the health food store to get my lunch, I'll go to sit down and I have to look and say, okay, well, this table's closed, this one's open. And then I have to think, okay, well, I'm only going to be here for a minute picking up. Do I want to sit down knowing they're going to have to come over there and re-sanitize that? That's not thoughtful. But other than that, I kind of go on to my, you know, I try my best to keep my normal routine. But that's just me, because I just don't want to live in fear. You know, God has blessed me so far where I haven't come down with anything, but I'm convinced I probably had it last fall because I had all the classic symptoms. But I'm just trying to carry on. That's me. I don't know about you guys. Any other thoughts?
Well, for me,
no.
I'm pretty much – oh, I'm sorry, Lori.
Oh, no, you
please
go
right ahead. Yeah, no, I was just going to say, you know, for me, Tammy, I'm pretty much home-based. So that's why it's either loungewear and pajamas and then or pajama pants and a T-shirt, and then sometimes it's just no difference, you know. So for us that are, you know, pretty home-based, that's the new norm, I think. How about with you, Lori?
Yeah, exactly. I was kind of laughing to myself because I'm thinking I'm going through the same sort of issues, you know. Do I put on a different pair of pajamas or the same pajamas, or do I change? It's like, well, my situation I was already kind of isolated before COVID-19 hit because I lost my job before that. I got laid off and then was dealing with some health issues and stuff. So I was, you know, was kind of happy to not have to be working with all that going on. But then COVID-19 hit, and so I've been rather isolated for almost a year now. Really, just seeing the odd person like once a month or once every 2 or 3 months. So I don't run, you know, I'm just sort of trying to reach out online a bit more, trying to stay connected with people that way. And yeah, the new norm. It's like, wow. I was thinking about it actually just the other day, and I thought, you know, for survivors of abuse, many of us have experienced a lot of trauma. I mean, if you've survived abuse, you've survived trauma. And it's, I was thinking to myself, it might even be easier for somebody like me to be dealing with this situation in a way, because I'm used to the world being skewed, you know? But my adult life has been pretty, I would say, pretty stable. But my childhood and my teens were not. And so I understand what it's like to be kind of in crisis, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, this is just another thing that we have to learn how to work through. And but it is tough. And it caught me off guard at first. It sure did. The first few months, I just found myself, I had cancer removal and I had some other health issues going on. And it was just sort of sitting around, sort of vegetating, and I was just calling it recuperating, really, from being sick. But I wasn't getting any exercise, and I realized, wow, I'm so sick and out of shape, and I've really got to do something about this. So I decided to start a routine, and that's helped me out a lot, because I've actually made a routine that I try to stick to every single day, and it is helping me a lot to keep that routine. But yeah, it's helpful if you work. If you're still working outside the home, because you can keep your routine going. But for me, it was like, wow, everything just changed. It was like, whoa. And it did hit me for a loop for a bit there. I almost gave up. I almost felt myself as a survivor of abuse, you know, getting down and becoming depressed and almost going back inward, you know, not reaching out. And I thought, no, let's not do that. I recognized it. I recognized it. I'm like, I know what I'm doing. I'm going back in, and I need to make the effort, you know, to reach out more now and to hold myself accountable to take care of myself. And so those are things I had to work on for sure. So it's definitely different.
I'm glad you brought up connecting with others, because some people have never, example, use Zoom or, you know, virtual settings and online banking or, you know, things on the computers or devices that we are doing now. And like I said, the world is really different. You know, some people, older people primarily, you know, their favorite thing to do was to go to the bank once a week. And, you know, now banks aren't open, and that was their little, you know, their little social thing where it was routine. So they have been deprived of that. But it's not really deprivation. It is really protection, safety. And so, you know, thank you for mentioning connectivity. Bill, loungewear or pajamas?
Boxer shorts or not? That's about it.
Okay.
And I do keep a T-shirt and a pair of shorts draped over the back of a chair here in case somebody comes to the front door or something. But other than that, you know, I'm pretty casual, very casual. But I do enjoy my every 10 days or 2 weeks trip to the grocery store, and very little else outside. I don't go out. I mean, our grocery store, Publix, is right next door to the CVS across the street from it. So it's the same trip. So, you know, once every, like I say, 10 days or 2 weeks, I go to the grocery store and maybe to the drugstore if I need to. And that's it. I enjoy the grocery store. To be honest, I always do. I prefer to go with somebody, like Christina, but I don't mind going by myself. I don't socialize at it, but I know once I know a store, which it takes about twice going to the store, I have the general idea of how the store is laid out. You know, then I start at one end and go to the other and go to the checkout. It's just kind of, I don't know, I like it. I end up spending too much, but then I don't waste much of it either. So my life has been all about NASCA for quite a number of years because I had started NASCA and was still working a little bit when I got this illness that it took a couple of years for them to diagnose, and it turned out to be the need to replace my aorta. But I was not able to work for the 2 years prior to that at all, nor the 2 years following this major operation. And then when I came to Florida here, it was ostensibly to hunt for a house, and that didn't come off either. So, and COVID occurred. So that whole time, I've been in a mode where I don't have a routine. The routine I have is the routine that I have built for myself. And, you know, it requires a certain amount of time on the internet, on the website, on the social media platforms, a certain amount of time on the phones, answering emails and things like that, a certain amount of time. But it also involves almost always a nap for an hour or a little more every day. And, you know, by putting it all together, and then the show at night, this show, you know, I'm frequently here. I'm almost always listening, even if I'm not here. So that's my day, and it fills up. I still have, I often have the TV on in the background with a mixture of some sports now that football is on and the World Series is on, but also, you know, news channels and also like Law and Order type shows. I just, you know, because they have them on certain channels almost wall to wall. And I'm not even paying attention, but they're on because I want the company, you know, the sound.
Yeah.
That's my routine. So it's not very exciting, but, you know, it could be a lot worse, a lot worse. And I am in an at-risk category, of course, so I'm quite careful with masks and people that come over if they're looking at the house, because this house is for sale. I made a requirement that they all have to be masked or I don't let them in, stuff like that. So I'm protecting myself. And, you know, I don't know. That's I don't know if life will ever change from this. I don't know. So I'm a little older. I'm retired. I actually wish I wasn't. I wish there was something I could do that would earn me an income, and because I feel like I have at least several hours a day I could do something else and earn an income with. I don't know. But anyway, it may never happen.
Well, I don't believe in, I'm one that says never say never, because I've seen things that happen that should never have happened, and I like to think of that in a positive light as well. So you never know, you know, could be that great opportunity that comes along, Bill, where you can just, you know, get the income that you want, and you can stay home in your boxers and you know, walk around in masks too if you want to. So, you know, never say never. You don't want to be limited.
No.
And
that's why
I said the word
may in there, because
may,
it's not hopeless to me. I don't have a plan that I can delineate for you, but I'm leaving myself open for it because, you know, it's something I think I could benefit for. I definitely could use an income.
Yes.
Would really dramatically improve my sort of financial stability, because I'm just retired a few years, and I hope a long life ahead of me, and so does my wife. That I don't want to run out of money someday, you know.
Yeah.
So, but it's okay.
Well, may abundance be with you and with the rest of us too.
Well, thank you.
And Lori, yeah. So Lori, would you like to, because you're new and you will be co-hosting, would you like to tell us a bit about anything about you as far as your journey and maybe something that you're looking forward to as part of being co-host and more prevalent in the NASCA community?
Yeah. Well, I've been around for a while, but I haven't been doing too much. I'm the Alberta ambassador, but I haven't been doing a whole lot of stuff. My husband was terminally ill for 17 years, and he was diagnosed to live 2 to 5. They gave him 2 to 5 at his diagnosis, and he lived another 15 years.
Never.
It was amazing. I know. It was such a gift. And
So,
yeah, he just passed away a couple of years ago. I'm just trying to get my bearings, you know. I'm sort of, you know, things are unstable for me right now. But, you know, that's life, right? I've decided not to let it bring me down. And I'm just going to have to learn how to roll with the punches again. I told a friend that today earlier, actually. I'm like, yeah, I'm back to rolling with the punches. But I'm used to crisis, and I understand, you know, that it doesn't last forever. And I'm kind of looking forward to, instead of being negative and pessimistic, I'm actually looking forward to the future. As long as I'm here, I just want to help. I know NASCA has been a huge help to me over the years. And just being, just knowing that I'm part of a family, you know, because I don't have a family. So now I have no children. You know, my husband just passed away, and I've got no family that I can contact. So I'm basically on my own. But I'm not, though, because I have NASCA, see? So people would say, oh, you're on your own. But I'm like, no, not really. I've got a NASCA family. They're my family. So
wow.
It's been very, very helpful for me. And just to know that I've got some good friends that I know I can rely on. If I need to chat, they're there for me. And I'm there for them, too. So it's good. My microphone's been giving me some problems with this program that I'm using to do the long distance. So I was actually going to host tonight, but my headset has been giving me issues for the last, I don't know, couple of shows that I've done. So I couldn't host the show tonight. So Tammy, thank you. Sorry about that. I really wanted to. And,
you're quite welcome, and no apology needed.
Well, I just thought about that, but this is I can't afford to replace anything right now because I'm on assistance and only for another short period of time. So it's kind of, you know, things are looking pretty grim for me right now. But I'm like, you know.
Well, may abundance be yours as well. May abundance
yours
as well, yeah.
Well, then this is the thing, like you were saying to Bill, you know, never say never.
Never say never.
No, that's right, because you got to keep that hope alive. And I think that's one thing that I'm able to do is just realize that, hey, who knows what's going to come of this? It could be something really good instead of something really bad.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah,
I'm just taking it sort of one day at a time, trying to be a little bit more attentive to staying in better physical shape now, because I am kind of homebound. I've got some health. Well, I've got some mobility issues. I can walk, but not very well. So walking for me is an issue. It's just painful. So I don't do a lot of walking. So I have a rower instead. So I finally got on the rower and started rowing, and I'm feeling a lot better.
Nice.
And doing some weightlifting, things like this. So things that I can do, I started to realize, hey, I need to stop worrying about what I can't do, you know, and stop fussing about that and start working on what I can do. I got really mad at myself probably about a month ago. And I was like, you know, there's things I can do. I just won't because I'm in a rut. So I pulled myself out of my rut and decided to get busy. And it has helped a lot. Yeah.
Well, maybe you can share with us, Lori. You mentioned being in a rut. You know, and for some that has become, unfortunately, you know, normal where we get into these spaces. And I'm not exempt. I mean, I'm kind of sort of there now, but you wouldn't know it unless I told you. But we get into these spaces where, you know, we just become maybe, you know, withdraw from things that we would normally do, or things are we feel that things are heavy for us now, or, you know, we I don't want to say lose hope, but we half the world, if not more, you know, more people are walking around saying, you know, what's going to happen? What's next? And what's the game plan? And where are we going from here? So there's that doubt. There's global doubt. And every single person is impacted by what is going on right now. There is not anyone, you know, even, you know, Tammy, who has pretty much kept a life of normalcy, you know, she says when she goes into the restaurants and the bars and places that she still has to, you know, do social distancing. So even someone who has a somewhat old normal or old normal way is still, you know, impacted by what's going on globally. So I wanted to ask you, Lori, how, you know, being in a rut or that space where just, you know, I don't want to do anything, I don't want to be here, I don't want to, you know, well, not be here, but not be in that space. What do I do next? You know, that uncertainty. What did you do to pull yourself out? And I have been there too, just recently, and I have found that, you know, doing more art for me, so that I don't put you on the spot, I always, you know, sell myself out first, but I have found that doing more of my fiber art, trying to get in as many, you know, virtual forms as I can, certainly taking in more of nature. I'm like you. I don't have a lot of family, but I do have friends. Or let me say this, I do have a lot of family, but I'm not aligned to them at this time, nor probably will it change anytime soon. So, you know, there's isolation. My son is away in school. He has a very very comfortable life that he enjoys. He may never, I'm not going to say never, but he never say never, right? I'm saying that, you know, I went from a pretty lively home with him here to, you know, empty nest again because he returned to school. So, you know, that swing in itself, I'm like, oh, gosh, you know, first there's all this life here and you know, the mom this and the mom that and fix me this and can we do this and this and this and this. And then is it like dead silence now? So what do you do to empower yourself to keep going, to get out of the rut, to create, to have hope and, you know, just keep going?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I first had to recognize that I was in a rut.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, I keep looking. I told Bill, I said, I just keep looking at the same wall. I'm sitting in the same chair, looking at the same wall. I've been doing this for months and months. And I thought, you know, I'm going to die. Like, if I don't do something, my health is at jeopardy. So I'm like, I seriously need to do something. So I started recognizing, first of all, that I was in a rut. And it wasn't necessarily too hard on myself, but I was like, you know, I can do better than this. You know, I can do the things I need to do. I just need to pull myself up and get busy, you know? So, cause it's just me. I mean, I don't have anybody to be accountable to, you know, I'm like, well, I can do whatever I want. So I'm kind of like, no, but I owe myself that, you know, I owe myself that to try. So I thought, okay, I started making notes for myself cause I was, I'm like the world's best number one procrastinator. And so I put these notes all over everything. I put the notes on my computer where I see, where I'm looking at it. I've got notes in front of me where my coffee cup is of what I needed to do, you know, like row 15 minutes a day, you know, get in the shower and, you know, whatever it is that I'm working on. That helped me because I got sick and tired of looking at the notes and it made me mad because these notes were there and I was kept looking at them and it was bothering me because I was like, that is just so stupid. And then I got mad, and I'm like, well, you don't row. You got the notes there. They've been sitting there for 2 weeks. So I kind of got mad at myself, and I got on the rower. So it did take a little bit of push. I had to push myself a little bit to get motivated. But finally, once I did that, now I'm fine because now I'm in a routine that's working for me. Some days I don't do it just because I'm in pain or whatever. But normally, if I stick to it, I do feel better. And so
you reset your brain.
That helps me out. Yeah, mm-hmm. for sure. And also, you know, the physical, I need to get my heart going. I need to, you know, like to do a workout. That's like because I don't walk, right? So I need to do
yes.
things that I can, chair exercises, things like that. I'm not in a wheelchair yet, but, if, you know, I mean, I technically could be. I can't walk.
Don't say yet.
But
yeah,
doctors are, you know, they're like, you know, you got to keep trying. I'm like, I know, but it's so painful. It's just unbelievably painful. And so, you know, I also, I had been practicing guitar for a while. I put it away when my husband passed away. I just couldn't deal with it. But I got that back out. Started practicing my guitar, and I love music. Music is a big part of my healing journey anyway. I love music.
Yes.
And so that's been helpful for me, just to take on the challenge of, you know, doing what I can to learn as much as I can. And like I said, just reaching out to people, trying to be more available, especially online, because I am online all the time. And just stay out there, stay connected with people. And what else have I been doing? Trying to take care of things, you know, it's difficult, you know, because it's just me. So it's kind of like, oh, you know, I'll do that next week sort of thing.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I'll do that the following week. I keep, you know, putting things off, right? So I'm trying to get a little bit better at taking care of things when they need to be done, but it is difficult, and there's some days, you know, that I struggle just like everybody else, and I have days where, you know, I'm just down, and I just allow myself the time I need to, yeah, to deal with things. You know, if I'm having a hard day and I'm feeling kind of down or whatever, I don't get it mad that I didn't do my workout or whatever. I'm like, you know, that's okay, because there's some days where it's just not going to work. So I don't put too much pressure on myself that way. Yeah, it makes it so that the next day when I feel better and I actually want to work out, I don't feel stressed about it. I'm like, oh, okay, I guess I'll do it, you know. So I'm trying to learn these things as I go along.
I'm glad you mentioned one thing, that you allow yourself, you know, the ability to feel, whether it's a, you know, a good feeling or a not so good feeling, and you just, you know, you honor that, and it's so important to sit with the pain, to sit with the emotions, and just take time with it and process them. So that has become the new normal for a lot of people as well. Whereas, you know, I say that to say, because more people are having to address how they're feeling on levels that they have never had before. So, of course, you know, survivors and people like myself and you, we've got some tools in our toolbox that can help us through times like now. But just imagine the people that are out there who have, you know, pretty much had an uneventful life, you know, never had, you know, survival tactics or need for much of anything other than to get up and have a wonderful life, if that's, you know, just stereotyping. But I'm saying that to say that your statement on you allow yourself that feeling is so important, and that should be the new normal. You are entitled and allowed to feel. Because, you know, we don't want to become desensitized in everything that's going on right now.
Yeah.
Tammy?
Yeah.
Tammy?
Yeah, I'm just listening. Yes.
Oh.
Yeah. Can you hear?
So, you know, Lori said something that you frequently say, and, you know, I hear your voice also saying, I allow myself that feeling, you know, returning to your mom's home, and, you know, Tammy says that often, I allow myself to feel. And how about we all do that? You know, how about we just start allowing ourselves to feel so that we don't numb up or you know, go into a state of just cold, callous, you know, desensitization, and that we do feel in some ways that we can keep feeling, Lori, nature. I know the temps are dropping in Alberta. And you know,
it's a little cold.
Just keep it, just keep it there.
Low out there. I'm like, I don't want to go out there.
Oh, I couldn't imagine. I'm sure that adds to it with it. You can't, because I can go outside, you know, in shorts. You know, if it's not raining, we can go swimming.
But
you
Tammy,
know,
some people like the snow.
Time.
Some people are like, ooh, yeah. snow.
That's true.
I like to go visit it and go home. I like where I am in South Florida. But the comment that I would like to make, this is Tammy, for anyone who's listening, you know, I can resonate with that because survivors of child abuse, all survivors, but especially us who have been beaten and battered and put down, you know, we've been told mean things and bad things about ourselves, and we're not supposed to, you know, be happy. You know, if anybody sees, sometimes, you know, some of us survivors, if anybody sees us with an ounce of happiness, they're going to do everything they can to make us miserable. You know, if we're smiling, I remember, you know, in my childhood, you know, if I was happy, it's almost like my grandmother couldn't stand me being happy and she would have to, you know, yank my happiness away. And we're the masters of self-guilt a lot of times. We've got to break that habit. We've got to learn to love ourselves.
Self-sabotage, yes.
Don't sabotage yourself and allow yourself to be happy. Allow yourself to say, I don't want to work out today. You know, I mean, you can't make it a pattern. If it's a pattern, that's one thing. But, you know, I think Lori's right. Sometimes when we skip it, we're so guilty about it that we, you know, we shudder away from it. So sometimes we just, you know, we just have to allow ourselves to feel, you know, the happiness, allow ourselves to go through, you know, whatever we need to go through. But we've got to give ourselves a break because as survivors, you know, we pick up the people have beaten and battered and put us down and, you know, abused us, and then we pick up the wine, we pick up the switch where they let off a lot of times, and
right. We've
got to break those habits.
And you know,
we deserve to be happy. Go ahead.
For advocates and you know, for people that are on the front lines, like you know, the frontliners, like us here who are the spokespeople and the you know, the helpers and the speaker uppers and those people, you know, abuse is hard on anyone. It's hard on society, okay? But when you are when you have dedicated your life to supporting others who are going through things that you have been through, times like now, you really, 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 really feel it. So I'm encouraging everyone, you know, let's all be advocates of wellness, the new norm. You know, let's encourage people that, okay, things used to be that way, but guess what? Get over it. They're not going to be that way anymore. We need to, you know, deal with the present moment and where we are and how things may be going forward. And try to help, you know, as many people as we can. And I think that is fruitful for not only us as individuals, but also collectively as a human race. You know, I'm just putting it out there that, you know, I know myself, I had to push back a little bit on helping other just not give up, but push back on helping other or survivors as much. I had to limit some time because I was taking on, you know, some of that, some of what they were going through. And I'm just hoping and praying that more people will step up, step in, and that things, you know, will change. Let civility be the new norm. Please, God, if you believe in God, please let that be the new norm. That would be wonderful.
That's right. Yeah, it would. You're right. And I just think, you know, just from what you were saying there, Felicia, that, you know, people don't like change. Most people don't like change. And change is hard on a lot of people. Some people may just thrive on it. You know what I mean? There are people that love a new thing all the time, right? But for the most part,
of us who have to survive Tammy's going to reprimand me.
Oh, no, go ahead.
I kind of download thoughts really fast, and just want to get that out, get this out there, that most people that haven't had to go into survival mode, they haven't had those chemicals, you know, fight or flight chemicals triggered. Like I said, someone walking around clueless, like totally lost, and you can look at them and see that they're more lost, you know, than found. And we all might have our moments, but there are some people who literally do not know how to survive because they haven't had to. But for us people, this is where we step in with wisdom. And you mentioned, Lori, creative schedules. And Bill mentioned, you know, taking the precautions, you know, that he has to take. And Tammy mentioned, you know, business as usual for her. So we have knowledge and insight and incredible empowerment that we can share. Just don't overdo it and, you know, kind of put it out there. And if someone gets it, fine, make the investment in them. We can't change people. So don't, you know, I tell everyone, you know, do what you got to do, help as many as you can. But remember to fill your cup up first, right?
Mm-hmm.
Fill your cup up first. Put your air mask, put your oxygen mask on first.
Yeah, that's right. Well, and the thing is, like, people, there's a lot of fear. And I think, and even with survivors of abuse, because people are panicking, and anybody, I mean, I don't know, you know, if someone's already, you know, this is just talking about anybody who out there who may have been abused, if they've already... if they've got anxiety problems or PTSD or whatever, it can actually, this situation is probably escalating it, making it worse. And I've seen that too, even with people like survivor friends that I know, which I won't name names. But, you know, I think there's a point where there's no easy fix for this. You know, it's not like we can just wave a magic wand and fix it and just be like, oh, good, COVID-19's gone and we can all go back to normal. So basically it's kind of like, well, how am I going to live in this, you know? And how am I going to enjoy life and keep going? And
enjoy life.
Does this really, yeah, like what's the impact? Does it really affect me that much? And I'm kind of like, well, not really, because, you know, tomorrow's not guaranteed. And today I can only do what I can do in the moment here today. That's all I can do. So I'm decided I'm not going to worry about tomorrow. I'm just going to get through today and do the best job I can to help others, pull along others with me, you know, to have a good day and to get through it, right? Because basically that's all we're doing anyway. We can make our plans, you know. We can say, well, two months from now I want to be doing this, or 6 months or a year from now I want to be doing that. But that there's no guarantee that that's going to happen. So
right.
It's kind of like we can really only do what we can do for today.
Yes.
And growing up abused, you know, I watched my family go through crisis after crisis after crisis. Like, it was one big crisis all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And what, you know, I used to sit there and just, me and my sister, who was 5 years older than me, we'd just be like, why don't they just, our parents pull themselves together? You know what I mean? Like, because we were like, why are they so crazy? You know what I mean?
Why don't they just get help or heal?
Yes, exactly. Reach out, get some help, you know, and work on things. You can't just expect that some miracle is going to happen. It's all going to change. You have to work at it.
You have to put the work in. You have to do that inner work. And
right.
Speaking of
and
help,
so,
how about the resources that NASCA has, Bill? I wanted to make sure that we got that in where – you know, there's a session form every night except for Saturday nights. So you want to tell us a little bit about the forms that are available, or Tammy, just put a plug in for NASCA, please.
There are two different kinds of things that you're kind of talking about. One is the radio shows that we're doing right now, and those are being done Monday through Friday now. We don't do them on the weekend.
Okay.
At all anymore. And we used to do a different series of shows on Sunday night, And we've completed, I think, 650 of those. So that's why we've done over 3,000 shows combined here. And we gave up the Saturday night shows or the Sunday night shows some time ago. But what we've done is, since the COVID thing has come on, we've replaced it, but added Zoom recovery meetings. They're different than the radio shows. They're actually recovery meetings, and it's a group that meets three times a week on Sundays, Tuesdays, and Thursdays in the afternoon. And those are live events that anybody can join, and they are crosstalk meetings, which is not easy to do. They're one of the toughest kind of meetings to do, but it's working very well. It's there today. And we have three, just like we have here, a bunch of hosts now who are capable of running these radio shows. We have three leaders of the group. One does, you know, Sunday, one does Tuesday, one does Thursday. And it's a really nice experience for people. So those are two things we do. We do about 30 different things. And they're all, you know, free. There's a lot to do at NASCA. If you decide you want to be active, you can be in one way or another. And we hope people do, because the activity is not going to be in attending live events. It could be in attending Zoom type things. It could be in, attending this radio show, but it could also be sort of being active in some of the Facebook and LinkedIn groups that we run, things like that. It could be social media of a different type, like Instagram. It could be in reaching out to other survivors. We have a significant list of people who are available to anybody who wants to call them. Dozens and dozens of folks have given me permission to put their email address and their phone number online on the front page of the website under the contact list. And, of course, we each can then find others to call too. So there's activity that happens just because you reach out to other people. I think that's a significant thing, by the way, I want to make sure we know that. It's not just the coordinated or the regulated or the scheduled radio shows and meetings. Every minute of every day in between, there are opportunities to reach out to somebody else and therefore not be alone and help them not be alone. So I've done some of that recently. Then there are resources. There are things to read. There are opportunities to volunteer for. I mean, there's a lot to do if you want to be busy and in the course of recovery, you know, moving in the direction of healing. But while I say that, I have to admit that it's not a constant thing. I was having a not so good time about 10 days ago or something, and some of the people on the show tonight were there and heard me say this kinds of things, where I was a little down and I was a little down on myself. And that does happen still. Lori said, you know, when she shared about sitting in the same chair and looking at the same wall day after day, week after week, month after month, I was feeling that way that day. I happened to be in the same chair tonight, and I don't feel that way tonight, but I sometimes feel that way, you know.
Me too.
She also mentioned the guitar that she's got, and I brought it up that I have a couple of guitars there in the closet, and people encouraged me to get them out of the closet. Well, I haven't done it. I'm here to pull my own covers and say I haven't done it, nor have I gotten the bicycle that I own out of the storage unit, which is a way that I can envision getting a little exercise, because all the streets in Florida are flat. And I actually, as a kid, loved bike riding. So I own a bike, and I rarely have used it. I haven't used it in years, but it's sitting there. And I mentioned that the other night, and I haven't gone and picked it up. So, you know, I'm just saying that one of the neat things about being in a group like this where you become better and better known is, there's very little fear of me telling people what my reality is. It's the way it is. And I'm not trying to look good, sound good, you know, feel better. I'm trying to be real, admit my feelings, or talk about my thinking and how a lot of it's stinking thinking, you know. and life goes on, and I just, you know, the big deal this week was the grocery store. And that's okay, and cooking. I enjoy cooking, so now I've taken to cooking, you know, for myself. I'm not cooking for anybody else. I used to enjoy it more when I was cooking for my daughter or my wife. Now I just cook for me, and I'm okay as a cook. I'm a pretty good cook, so, you know, I end up with a lot of sorbo. That's the Portuguese word for leftovers in my refrigerator. And sorbo lasts me an additional couple of days, so I don't even have to cook every day. You know, I cook every couple of days, every 3 days. And I mix it up with salads and yogurts and, I don't know, cream cheese and all kinds of things. I have a pretty varied diet, a pretty good one. So this is it, you know. I'm not today as depressed, even in a minor way, as I was the other night when people heard me say these things. But the situation hasn't changed. None of it's changed. The only thing that's changed is my own attitude
about
it.
How you feel. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's all about that. Most of the time, it's about my attitude, not about the facts of my life, but about my attitude about the facts of my life, maybe. You know, and I have to say most of the time that while I know things could be better, I also know they could be a whole lot worse. I've been to those places, and I'm far away from that spot right now, you know. And, of course, I don't want to go back there, and I don't predict I will. But the things could be better, yeah, but they could be a lot worse. And I survived all that lot worse stuff, so if I can do that, I can survive this, you know.
Yes. And you know, Bill, you brought up something. I don't want to interrupt, but I don't want to lose it. You brought up something where you mentioned depression. But, you know, personally, I'm thinking – more people are feeling a sense of grief versus depression. And I think that might be more, easier to accept that right now the world over is probably experiencing some form of grief. So perhaps you were grieving and not necessarily depressed, even though I know you're an expert and you're aware of your feelings, but just for the sake of others out there, you know, the solemnness, it may be grief. It could be grieving for the way things used to be or the way things, you know, should be or, you know, whatever. So I don't want to, lump people in a box and say, oh, everyone's depressed. I think more people are grieving. I know, you know, Tammy was grieving for a little while because the beaches weren't open, and we had to hear about it every week. You know, that's part of, you know,
that's
the grief process is. Yeah, so I'm thinking that more people are grieving. They just don't know it. They just don't know it. And this is where the education comes in is, you know, let's take a look at what you're really feeling, like Lori has. You know, is it a rut? Is it depression? Is it grief? You know, are you having isolation issues, or is it withdrawal? Is it, you know, triggers? And I'm thinking, Bill, I don't think you were depressed. I think you were grieving, and I wasn't there, but I'm just feeling that on you.
You know what? I just gotta say, I call it depression because it wasn't. I don't think it was grief. I think I was feeling sorry for myself. That's depression. That's not grief. Because I'll tell you what, I was thinking of this earlier when somebody brought it up, how we, you know, we have a problem with finding loving, meaningful relationships and having them close to us. And that was one of the things that I shared about the other night, too. My wife is in California, so I'm able to talk to her once a day. The dog is with her, so I don't even have the dog here, you know, so I'm alone. but a lot of us, even if I didn't have my wife, I'd still have all of us. And here's the point. My father died just before the turn of the century, so nearly 20 years ago, right? He died 20 years ago. And I deeply grieved my father at first. And I still do today in the sense that I miss him. But I've also come to the conclusion that he's not gone. Because I know I still own his love. And he still has mine. Even though he's departed from this earth, you know, for two decades. And I feel the same way about Nazca people. There are lots of them that I don't necessarily contact on a regular basis. But I am deeply aware that it's not because they don't love me. It's because it might be inconvenient and so forth, or just whatever the reason is. My friends here love me, and I really, when I pay attention to the fact
that
I'm loved.
Is that what they told you, or is that something you just made up for yourself so you could feel better?
No. No, they tell me that all the time.
I tell Bill that all the time.
I
love
Bill.
I love you, Bill.
She's joking. She's joking.
I'm just checking.
No. I don't have any doubt that I'm loved. You know, that's the point. Am I loved by people who are, you know, in the next room? No. But does that mean I'm not loved? No. It means they're not in the next room. My father's not even in this universe or in this world anymore, but he's in my universe,
and
I know
he
loves
me. And he put that love in you, yes.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. It doesn't go away when someone puts love in you, that investment like that. Unless they do something to you to override that love doesn't go away. And I'm fortunate. You know, to also have that kind of love, Bill, from my grandparents. I have it from some family members, but some of the love that was also put in me, you know, it wasn't real love. It was control, manipulation, abuse. So that love, you know, that created a void. And then I just started to fill it up with other stuff. So, you know, having, you know, once again, that connectivity, however you call it, whether it's love or, you know, someone that you associate with, Lori, where you are, or Tammy, you know, meeting up with your friends, however you call that human bond, it's important that you have one. And Lori, I want to connect with you in the upcoming days to invite you to some of the other forums that I'm sitting in to see if there's something that you might be interested in so that we can make sure that you are included if you have time, whether it be the arts or speaking or you and Bill making a crazy, you know, YouTube video playing the guitar on Zoom. You know, let's just something going. Yeah, let's just keep something going. You guys might get voiceovers or, you know, background music and something. So, you know, a lot of people are looking for music that they can add into what they're doing virtually right now that they don't have to, you know, necessarily pay or not pay, but file for licenses and use. So I just want to throw that out there that, you know, don't say you won't have an income, Bill, because it may be doing background music for someone's videos or virtual settings. You never know.
You never know.
I suggest you get the guitar out and start practicing because I just put you out there.
Second week running, Bill. You got to get the guitar out.
That's right.
We're going to bring this up every Thursday.
Yeah.
until he plays us a song, we will know that he has gotten that guitar out one Thursday when we get on here and he drums us out a song. Then we'll know.
Yes.
We'll know.
That's so funny.
Well, this is Tammy. I would like to make a comment because, you know, you and Bill got into a conversation with a contrast with grieving and depression, and I clearly understand where both of you are coming from. You know, the depression because, like Bill said, you know, he's feeling sorry for himself. He can't get out. You know, his wife isn't with him. He doesn't even have the dog, and that can be depressing. And sometimes the grieving can lead to depressing. You know, and I think, I know you joked about it,
But you were right. In April, May, June, when I couldn't go hang out with my friends, I couldn't go to the beach, I couldn't do anything. I grieved for that. I would get depressed sitting at home, you know, by myself because I miss being around people. But I miss going to the beach. I miss being able to go hang out with my friends. I missed my lifestyle. You know, it's not the best lifestyle in the world, but it was mine, you know. And
right.
That's right now, you know. I try my best to keep, you know, I'm one of the fortunate ones that, you know, did keep a job, and I, you know, have to come to work. Like I said, I've worked harder than ever through this pandemic, you know, because I'm over HR and finances. So, you know, I had additional responsibilities on top of everything else. So I'm fortunate that I get to get out and go to my job. But it did cause, I did have a grief. I mean, because I got used to going to the beach every day. The odd thing is I hadn't been to the beach in 3 weeks. Now that I can go.
Yeah.
So,
harsh.
You know.
So many things. Yeah.
One of the things. Yeah, and, you know, and I'll just mention this, and I think I mention it every Thursday when I'm on there. You know, where my heart goes out is through all this are the kids that are stuck at home. And they're still enduring abuse, and you know the only outlet that they had was getting out at school, you know, having the opportunity for, you know, a teacher or a caregiver to notice bruises, and now a lot of them are just trapped. A lot of the domestic victims are trapped, just trapped.
Mm-hmm.
And it's that my heart goes out to those folks who, you know, can't get away
Very
from their
true.
Abuser, whomever it may be. So we need to remember
that. You know, it's going unreported, and it's going unaddressed, and you know, the I want to say paramedics, but you know, emergency personnel are not available, and social services people are not available, and we're just a little limited in some aspects. However, me being the optimist that I am, I'm praying that more people, you know, Tammy, you're right. I know that there are some people, and probably even, I don't want to say more, but they're getting it on a regular basis rather than just some of the time, and I think we would agree to that. But I want to say that I'm hoping that more people, you know, are taking this time to say, I need to take a look at myself. I need to take a look at what I'm doing to my home, to my family, to myself, to my kids, to my wife, to my friends. I'm hoping and praying that more people are just having those, those breakdowns to build back up, and so they can come out of COVID or whatever, you know, we want to call this pandemic. The state of affairs right now, and say, you know, while I was there, I took the time to change my life and to take care of my family, and I'm just hoping and praying that those success stories or life-changing stories, you know, start to reveal themselves as people, like Lori said, are doing the inner work, doing the work in themselves. So, you know, we pray for the kids and send them, you know, all kinds of protective energy around them, like you said, Tammy, who are, you know, are getting battered and bruised and have, you know, no teachers looking out for them or social services in the schools like we had, or even, you know, the bus driver or the patrol person at the bus stop or whoever. But also on, you know, on the other side of that, let's hope and pray that some people are saying, you know, I just want to change my life, and that they're getting the help that they need so that they can do it, and they are receiving self-empowerment. It starts with self. You got to want to change in order to change. We pray for the kids who are being abused, who are not getting the attention and resources and support that they need. And while we have the audience here, you know, if you're listening and you know of instances where there is child abuse, please do speak up. Do, you know, make that phone call or, you know, file a tip or something so that, you know, someone
yeah
might just respond, yeah.
You might be the only one that does see it. And you know, yes. save a child's life, right?
Yes. So any changes in the topic we talked about so much? I started off with the with the loungewear and versus pajama bottoms, and Bill took us to the boxer shorts, and Lori kind of reeled us back in and said, it all starts in the mind. You've got to have that willpower. And Tammy took us to the beach, and, her life hasn't changed much except for the mask and the 6 feet social distancing. So we covered a lot, and I want to make sure that everyone, leaves with something as always. Tammy, we're not as high energetic and bumping into each other. It's like we both took a chill pill tonight, huh? this is good. And I'll just say I put a call out to my team this evening before I got on, and I'm like, I may be a little quiet, I may be a little bit more reserved. And Tammy jumps on and she's like, yeah, but that's high energetic for most of us. So, I always want to have a show where people walk away with feeling connected, not just to NASCA, but to other human beings. Because even without that NASCA title, we are still all humans. I'm not taking anything away from the wonderful work that, NASCA's doing. But if we could connect more as human beings and then bring everybody into NASCA, that would be a wonderful thing so they could get some help.
Well, this is Tammy. I've noticed the temperament. Bill's voice, and I know Bill, you said you're not where you are last week, and I'm glad. That's why I called you Sunday to make sure, because I could tell your spirits were down. I've gotten to know you well enough. But even on this call, I've noticed that the temperament has picked up with Bill. It's definitely picked up with Felicia. Lori's, she's got a good temperament. I'm just tired as I could be. I'm still at work, actually. But I think we've had some good discussions, and I think we have kept it positive, and we have been able to give, have some commentary that is beneficial to all of us and pick up, help each other pick up our spirits, so to speak, and remind Bill he owes us a guitar song. We have 17 minutes left of air time, so we do have time to bring up another topic, or we can continue on what you guys want to talk about. If anybody is listening, you do have 15 minutes you can share. We do know that people do stream in. The number is 646-595-2118. Otherwise, we'll just continue on with the panel we have. So does anybody have go ahead.
Yeah, I do, and it's okay. Coming off of what we were just talking about. I've tried to make this point before, and I have been ineloquent and perhaps unsuccessful at all. I think we're the lucky people during this pandemic, because we have a process by which we know how to deal with sort of crises and trauma from that crisis is that we use all the time. And the reason I'm bringing this up is I believe that everybody has trauma, okay? We talk about childhood trauma, meaning sexual assault, physical and violent abuse, emotional and mental traumas, and neglect to a child. But there's a lot of kids who grow up, and everybody has trauma. They have other kinds of trauma. They're not having trauma that's produced because there's a predator in their life. They have it because their mother died, or whatever, or their house burned down, or they were in a car accident. These are all traumas, and throughout our lives we experience them. And most people don't have a process by which they can heal from that trauma. The trauma, by the way, is not the incident that occurs. It's the effects of the incident that show up later. And in our case, We don't catch them until we're in our adulthood most of the time. But once we've caught them, we have a process is the point. And that puts us ahead of the game in so many areas, because people right now who are traumatized, they're traumatized by the COVID event, if nothing else, right now. They are at best, they're kind of treading water. They don't have a process, and they've been sort of living lives of quiet desperation anyway. A lot of people who look like on the outside they got great lives, they're really feeling desperate inside, and they're it shows up not because they were child abuse victims, but because everybody has trauma, and it shows up in different ways. So I'm just saying we're better positioned to deal with this, and maybe even to lead a certain group of us out of it, because we're not distracted by distraction from distraction. You know, that's how most people live their life. They get distracted by this and distracted by that and distracted by this, so they don't have to look at the distraction and that. And we don't do that. We're pretty focused. Once, you know, it takes us a while, but we become pretty focused on what we call a healing journey. And that's really beneficial to us beyond what's available for the most part to the general population that's not been a child abuse victim but has experienced some kind of traumas, all kinds of traumas. So that's my thought.
I agree, and we mentioned that. We mentioned something along those lines earlier in that, you know, there are people who have no survival skills because they've never had to have them. They've never had certain chemicals ignited as far as anxiety or fight or flight or doubt or worry. They just, you know, they just haven't been in the spaces that we've been in. So Bill's right. We have treasures within us, and we are a trove of treasures, and we need to help others while we continue to help ourselves. But like I said, be sure to put your oxygen mask on first. So out of today, just right now, because I do believe in change for better, is there something, just us four, that we could share with the audience? Like, what's something that we can do immediately to change things in a positive light? Bill, you mentioned cooking. You know, is there someone that you would want to share a meal with once a week, once every 2 weeks? Lori, you mentioned you have been getting you took your guitar out. Is there a group that you would connect with to strum a little bit virtually with, or a person that you could call who may be shut in as well and say, I got a tune for you? Tammy, you know, is there anything that from just this moment right now that we could change for the better?
I think the biggest thing that any of us can do, and it's available to all of us, is to be of service. And that you can do via the internet and the phone. Same tools that we use for everything else. Because there are lots of people out there, and there are members of the group out there tonight who are, you know, who are sitting there wishing they could get out of their funk. And, you know, sometimes it's as easy as a phone call they didn't expect arriving. And the person on the other end saying, hi, this is Felicia. I just wanted you to know I was thinking of you today, and I hope you're doing all right. And then see what happens. That's being a service to kind of bring somebody out of themselves. So, see, that's available to every one of us all the time, frankly. But it's also part of our own personal healing to step out of ourselves by getting into somebody else and trying to help them.
That's true.
I agree.
Take the focus
agree.
Off of ourselves. Yeah, that's the thing. It's, you know, it's not healthy to sit and just
muddle,
stew in ourselves, you know what I mean, in our own issues and problems, right? Because in helping somebody else, we're actually helping ourselves.
Yes.
It's a, you know, so everybody wins that way, right? That's how I when I started my healing journey so many years ago now, 12 years ago, that's what I really realized, you know, that I needed to get out of myself and my own pity party and my own head and start reaching out to others, and as well as trying to do what I could to help other people. And that made all the difference. Absolutely. because that was the problem. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was just staying.
Well, this is
stagnant.
Tammy.
I'm going to
take a different. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, sorry.
I didn't mean to cut you off. You done?
Yeah, sorry.
Well, I'm going to take a different approach. That's okay. That's okay. It's going to happen every once in a while when we start getting cranked up and enthusiastic. But, you know, one of the things, I'm going to take a little bit of different approach because I agree with you guys, getting out there, if you can, you know, connect with someone, whether it's on the internet, telephone, go visit somebody, that's great. You know, I'm here in South Florida, so, you know, it's warm. I can get out. I don't have to worry about the snow. And, you know, Florida's pretty much opened up. So it depends on where you're at this point as to what you can do. But like Bill said, the internet's there. But what can we do for ourselves, you know, to fight that depression and fight, you know, feeling sorry for ourselves or fight, you know, being, you know, grieving, not being able to have our normal routine. You know, one of the things I try to do is, you know, give myself a pep talk in the morning. You know, a lot of times we is how we look at things. You know, do we look at it positively or do we look at it negatively? You know, I wrecked my car not too long ago, a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, I had to give myself, because at first I was like, oh, no. But I had to, you know, remind myself, I'm very lucky. I just wrecked my car. I just did damage to my car. You know, I could have hurt somebody else. I could have hurt myself. You know, I could have done a lot more damage to my car. You know, so much more could have happened, you know, than happened. I mean, I was really lucky. And I know it's a cliche of seeing the glass half full, half empty. But sometimes we just have to you know, remind ourselves to you know, think positive. You know, try to see the good. And you can look at somebody, and I've done this. I've talked about this on the show a couple of times, and I've given some examples. But you can look at somebody, and you can think, boy, they look smug. You know, I bet they think they're all that in a bag of chips. And you can change your perspective and look at that same person and say, you know, that person, you know, they could be going through something. They may be dealing with something. They may, you know, they may have a genuine heart and they're just shy. You know, and that person hasn't changed. They don't even know what I'm thinking. But my perspective of how I see that person has changed. And we've got to remind ourselves to do that on a regular basis, and it's habit. We can get in the habit of being negative. We can get in the habit of seeing the worst in people, or we can get in the habit of seeing, you know, seeing the bright side, or get in the habit of trying to see the best in people. I don't know. That's just my thought.
I agree. Start with self first. Let's take care of us. You know, my routine starts out with prayer and meditation in the morning. And working on my olfactory gland with sniffing scents from nature through my oils or sacred smoke, and you know, really getting the cobweb off me, kind of saying it's a routine. It's not the new norm. It has been the norm. It will be the norm. So doing what we can with what we have, where we are, that's important. You don't have to, you know, we can just use what we have. And we've talked about this before on another show, you know, getting out things that we may have put away, such as guitars or Legos or building blocks and puzzles, making your own, you know, crossword puzzles or word searches if you don't have the books, but just using what we have where we are not only helps us in healing, but it also raises the level of gratitude. And I think, Tammy, you know, you would agree that, because you mentioned that in general with your car, it's just having being grateful instantly changes things, and to have the glass more full than empty just because we're grateful that there is a glass. How about that? Lori?
Yeah, this is Lori. And I totally agree with that. That's and that's something that, you know, I have to work on, being grateful. Just because, you know, Tammy was talking about having a car accident there, but thankfully, and thank God, she didn't nobody else got hurt. She didn't get hurt. And I was just thinking about that. I thought, you know, that's, yeah, I mean, I just lost my car. I had to donate it because I couldn't afford the repairs. And all sorts of losses, you know, this last couple of years with my husband passing away, losing my car, losing my job, losing my health a bit. But I am thankful and I am grateful. That's what I was talking about earlier, kind of going day to day and not worrying about tomorrow. What can I do today to have a good day? And what can I do to make this the only really day that really matters, you know, because it's all we have. So I started to forget about the car. Who cares? And my husband, he's always in my heart. You know, I love him dearly. And he's just not with me in the room, but he's with me all the time anyway. And, you know, I thought, no, I am grateful because I've been able to experience things that others will never have been able to experience. And, you know, I'm learning how to enjoy life as I go along, and I'm learning how to love myself and to love other people and to, you know, to share. And so it's whatever we do that we can do, you know, to remember to be grateful, you know, for what we do have, not counting the losses so much all the time, but count our blessings, you know, if you want to call them that. That's
absolutely
what I call them, 'cause I'm Christian.
Absolutely.
But count what we do have. You know, I've got four walls. I'm in a safe place. Nobody's abusing me now. And, you know, I'm good to myself. Other people are good to me. I try to be good to other people. There's so many things that are going right, you know, instead of just looking at what's going wrong all the time, we need to start looking at what's going good. So, yeah, I like that positive, you know, keeping a positive focus and a positive outlook. Not lying to yourself and saying, oh, this
no.
is great. But it's more of, instead of just, you know, yeah, anybody can do that. Anybody could just look at this mess going on and say, oh, just forget it. I'm just, it's too much and I'm just not going to do, you know. We can all do that, but we're not going to. That's,
you know,
no good. That's no
I'm
fun.
I'm so glad you mentioned that. I've got like 3 minutes, but I'm so glad you mentioned, you know, looking at things differently because, like I said, my son, you know, is away at school, and he is extremely independent to the point
mm-hmm.
where to the point where it hurt me. And then I had
right.
to, like, snap myself into this reality and say, but hold up, wait a minute. Aren't a lot of parents wanting their kids to be, you know, responsible or independent and off on their own and being able? I'm like, this kid is just phenomenal in his independence. And so once I started to turn it around and put some gratitude and go through, you know, the detachment as a mom, you know, who's very close to their child, especially during the time right now. And once I started to put gratitude around that and that he's doing what he's supposed to be doing as far as taking care of himself and being very independent in his own apartment, in school, working, I mean, I couldn't ask for better, right? I'm like, why am I feeling like this? This is great. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, but just
right.
trying to be a support, you know, a support to him. You know,
mm-hmm.
mentally and spiritually and energetically. So, Lori, you're right. Turn it around. And I just did that this week. Turn it around. You know, turn it around.
Right. Well, I just got the 90-second mark, guys. So it's been a great show. I wanted to thank Lori for being here. Thank you, Bill, for coming in and supporting us as well. And Felicia, it's always a pleasure to have you here. I've got 60 seconds, so if anybody wants to just say goodnight or something, that's about all we have time for. So all mics are open just really quickly. Anybody?
Yep. I just wish everyone wellness and happiness and joy, and may all our needs be met plus some. That's what I'll leave us with tonight.
Okay. Thank
okay.
you, Felicia.
Well, thank
that
you
was awesome.
That. All right. Well, good night, everybody, and I'm going to end the show by saying God bless the children of the world and God bless survivors of child abuse. Good night, y'all.
Good night.
Good night.
Another tomorrow, 'cause that dawn was gone. You
Talk Radio.